Two or three are gathered in your name, that you are in the midst. And so we thank you, Lord, that your spirit is here. Lord, we ask that you bless this teaching, that you breathe life into it, that you would speak to each woman that's here. And Lord, we pray that you would be honored in all that is said. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated and welcome. My name is Glenda, and I'm glad you're here tonight. Well, as we continue our studies in Proverbs, this book of wisdom, there is certainly not a shortage of verses dealing with the words of our mouth. In September, Linda taught us a lesson titled, A Word Fitly Spoken, and she emphasized the need for effective communication in not only what we say, but how we say it. And in November, Karen taught us a lesson titled, The Power of Words. Her emphasis was on examining what's in our hearts so that what comes out of our mouths brings life, not death, to the hearers. Well, I'm going to be teaching one more lesson this evening dealing with the words of our mouth. So let me start with a description and let you guess what the title of this lesson is. Who am I? I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cruel, malicious, and gather strength with age. The more I am quoted, the more I am believed. I flourish at every level of society. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I'm nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it's never the same. I topple governments and ruin marriages. I destroy careers and cause heartaches and sleepless nights. I wreck churches and separate Christians. I spawn suspicion and generate grief. I make innocent people cry on their pillows. Even my name hisses. I am gossip. Now that's just creepy. And I know that no one should ever want to be guilty of such a terrible sin, yet we are all so prone to it. God, through Solomon, warns us in Proverbs 18:8, the tails of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down to the innermost body. He repeats these same words in Proverbs 26:22. And Damien used this text in January on a Sunday night. He titled his lesson, A New Year's Cleanse. He taught, the tails of a talebearer are poisonous, and we need to guard against it, it entering into our thoughts and attitudes we have about others. We need to be careful not to form opinions about people or make decisions based on what we hear rather than what is the truth. He emphasized searching our hearts and asking God to cleanse us from any poison that has entered into our life. This is not only important for your personal spiritual health, but for the health of the body of Christ, which we all are a part of. For our main text tonight, I want to turn to Proverbs 13:17. That's Proverbs 13:17. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings health. Now, with all the verses that deal specifically with gossip, you may wonder why I chose this one as our main text. So let me explain. As Christians, we have been called to be ambassadors for Christ. Paul says in the first part of 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. So as a Christian, you are an ambassador for Christ. Just as an earthly ambassador represents and communicates the desires and will of the head of state that sent him or her, we are charged with representing and communicating the desires and will of Christ to those around us. Simply put, an ambassador is an authorized messenger or representative. The things we communicate through speech, social media, in public or private, are being evaluated in the hearer's mind. If we call ourselves a Christian, they are not only forming opinions about who we are, but also about what we believe, about who we represent. So I want to read Proverbs 13:17 again, but this time out of the Message Bible. It reads, "Irresponsible talk makes a real mess of things, but a reliable reporter is a healing presence. God has called us to be his representative in this world, and we certainly don't want to make a mess of things with careless words. And I believe most of you are here tonight because you want to be a faithful ambassador for Christ. Speech is only one way we represent Christ, but it is certainly one of the most powerful ways we have to communicate to the world what God is like. We'll look at several verses that instruct us on how we are to represent and communicate Christ's desire to the world we live in. And if we are obedient to God's instruction, God will use our lives to be a healing presence in a world in need of healing. If we are not faithful to communicate the heart of God, we will fall into trouble. Anything that misrepresents God is dangerous and will lead to a bad end if we are not repented of. This evening, I'd like us to take a serious look at how we are representing Christ with our words. How does God view gossip? What harm can gossip do? And how can we be good and faithful servants with our mouths? So we live in a culture that celebrates gossip. It's everywhere, and it's not even subtle. We have gossip columns, gossip magazines. People pay good money for the latest gossip because there's a market for it. Gossiping in many circles is not looked on as shameful. Instead, it's a form of entertainment or just a way to pass time. So this is going to date me, but how many remember the show Hee Haw? They had a section on there called the Gossip Girls. They always started with a song that went like this. "Now we're not one to go around spreading rumors. Why, really, we're just not the gossiping kind. Oh, you'll never hear one of us repeating gossip. So you better be sure and listen close the first time." You know, then it was followed by silly things that they heard about other people. But if we're not careful, we can be like these gossip girls in making up our own rules of what we believe gossip is and what it's not. Like the song suggests, well, as long as you only tell it once, you're not really gossiping. Some believe if it's true, that's not gossip. Or, well, if it's no big deal, or it is a big deal, then that's not gossip. But, and what if it's shared in the form of a prayer request? Like the gossip girls, you may have told yourself that's not gossip. But what does the Bible say? Gossip is called by many names in the Bible. There's backbiting, whisperer, talebearer, slander, false witness. Those names don't sound quite as harmless as just a little gossip. Proverbs 6:16-19 gives us a list of the things that the Lord hates. Yes, seven that are abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift and running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Do you see where gossip fits into those top seven? Let me give you another list from the New Testament. Romans 1:28-32. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." Did you see whisperer and backbiter right in there with the things that the Bible says are deserving of death? And not only those who practice such things, but for those who approve of those who practice these things? These are serious charges and not something we should take lightly. God certainly does not. Billy Graham said, "We in the church have failed to remind this generation that while God is love, he also has the capacity to hate. He hates sin. He will judge it with the fierceness of his wrath. This generation is schooled in the teaching about an indulgent, soft-hearted God whose judgments are uncertain and who coddles those who break his commandments. This generation finds it difficult to believe that God hates sin." Billy Graham went on to say, "I tell you that God hates sin just as a father hates a rattlesnake that threatens the safety and life of his child. God loathes evil and diabolic forces that would pull people down to a godless eternity. Just as a mother hates a venomous spider that is found playing on the soft, warm flesh of her little baby." Proverbs 20:19 tells us, "He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip." Gossip is not innocent. Gossip is not harmless. It is evil, and it is demonic in nature. We are warned repeatedly not to partake of it. Gossip is a thief, and not just any thief. It goes after the treasure that Proverbs describes as greater than silver or gold. It steals reputations, a person's good name. It undermines trust and authority. It brings discouragement, heartache, fear, and confusion to a person who has been wrongly accused. It is our moral obligation and duty to guard each other's reputation. If we are careless with our words, we can damage a person's reputation unjustly and vandalize their character. There can be very real, sometimes long-lasting damage done to people. Restoring a devalued name is very difficult. So picturing how something looks helps me to understand it. So I'll share with you my thoughts on what gossip might look like. So picture yourself here at church, and a lady in front of you gets up to leave, and you notice she's left her purse behind. Perhaps she's going to the restroom and will be back soon. But in the meantime, you notice someone moving over toward your purse, and he reaches inside, and he begins to take things out and put them in his pocket. Well, you can't believe what you're seeing. But you don't know. Wait a minute, because I lost my place. You can't believe what you're seeing. We got that. Here we are. But you don't want to cause a scene after all. Maybe he has permission to be in her purse. He notices you looking at him, and he smiles and hands you out something out of the lady's purse. So what do? Should you just quietly put it in your purse? Now he winks at you and hands you the purse. Do you dig in it to see if there's anything you might like to keep or to give to someone else? Well, of course not. No one would think that is all right. But if we listen to gossip about someone, aren't we just as guilty? Gossip is stealing something a lot more valuable than what's inside a purse. And when we share it, when they share it with us, we have become an accomplice to their crime. And if we share it, we are just as guilty in engaging in the same crime of theft. I have a cousin who told me about what happened to her and her husband years ago while they were living in Idaho. They both are godly people who love the Lord, and they are his faithful servants. God had called him to pastor a local church, and the church had a small congregation, but it was growing under their leadership. One of the elders at the church became dissatisfied and began complaining and spreading rumors about the pastor. What he was saying was absolutely false. Yet it began to damage this good man's reputation and the church. One by one, families began to leave. My cousin told me when they got down to just their family and one other, they knew that it was time for them to move on. She said she sat crying her heart out to God, and she said, "God, all these people believe this lie that has been told about us. You And you alone know the truth, she said at that moment. God reassured her. He knew the truth, and that was enough. They had been faithful ambassadors, and God would use them to bring health to more people than they could imagine. They went on to become missionaries in Albania right after communism had collapsed there. And God used these faithful servants to start 10 home churches throughout the region. God is still using what they began to bring health to those who never had heard of Christ before they had went there. She told me that on one of their trips back to the States, the man who had been the source of gossip wanted to meet with them. She said it was a very sad meeting. This man, who had once been a leader in the church, looked terrible. As Proverbs 13:17 warns us, a wicked messenger falls into trouble. His life had not been easy after they had left. He admitted to them that he had become jealous of their ministry, and he went about spreading rumors that were not true. He begged for their forgiveness. She said at that point there was nothing to forgive. They had moved on with their lives and really hadn't thought much about him over the years. But this man had suffered and lived with the guilt of the damage that he had caused with his words. Numbers 12 gives us a clear account of how God views gossip. So I'm going to begin reading Numbers 12, starting with verse 1. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting." So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of a cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both went forward. And then he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak to him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned towards Miriam, and there she was, a leper. Now Moses is Miriam and Aaron's brother, and it seems the two of them had gotten together and were criticizing him. Gossip often shows up in the form of criticism or complaints. And sadly, it often shows up with those we are closest to. Their first complaint here is about their sister-in-law. She wasn't like them. My dad had an aunt that used to always say, "Some people think if they're not just like us, they're just not quite right." And I'm sure she was different. She grew up in a different part of the world. She had not been a slave like Aaron and Miriam had been. She was different. And you know what? So was Moses. He didn't grow up like his brother and sister did. Moses grew up among the Egyptians, but never quite fit in. He was a Hebrew, but different. Those 40 years Moses lived with his wife's family, they seemed to have accepted him. And don't you think he would have loved for his brother and sister to accept his wife instead of talking about her? God the Father also wants his children to accept one another. We're all different. The church should be the one place that we can go to and be accepted for who we are and how God made us. And I wonder how many people stay away because they are afraid that they wouldn't fit in and people would talk about them instead of to them. Well, Aaron and Miriam didn't stop there, which is often the case once a person starts talking about someone else. It escalates. In verse 2, their accusations are more direct. "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses?" I want to pause there because that phrase, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses?" sounds so familiar. Yes, Genesis 3, Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" Just as Eve began to question the authority of God's command, Miriam and Aaron had begun to question the authority of God's choice of Moses as the leader. They go on to say, "Has he not spoken through us also?" Who do you think is directing this conversation? Does this sound like the leading of the Holy Spirit or that serpent that we first met in the garden? In John chapter 8, Jesus said of Satan, "He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now, Aaron and Miriam probably never would have considered themselves to be guilty of slander, tale-bearing, backbiting, or lying. But here they are, guilty of all these things because there was no truth in what they were accusing their brother Moses of. They were talking behind his back, or as verse 8 says, against the Lord's servant. God had used both Aaron and Miriam in powerful ways. Exodus 16, after the children of Israel were led across the Red Sea on dry ground, verse 20 tells us, "Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dance. And Aaron, he was appointed the first high priest of the Israelites." These two were leaders, and as such, they had a great responsibility to communicate the heart of God and not to lead people astray, which this kind of talk always does, especially when it's directed toward someone in authority, even more so if it comes from another person with some authority. It divides people and casts doubt on the character of the person that they are talking about. Each one of us had people watching us, and if we are faithful ambassadors for Christ, communicating his heart through our words, if we are not faithful, we too can lead people astray. We are as apt as Aaron and Miriam to come to the wrong assumption about people based on our own limited knowledge or the mood that we happen to be in. And we too can be guilty of slander, tale-bearing, backbiting, and lying if we are not careful with our thoughts and words. Well, God was not going to allow these two to continue in their irresponsible talk. The end of verse 2 tells us, "And the Lord heard it." He not only heard their words, he saw what was in their hearts. He saw the jealousy and pride that was motivating their speech. They were accusing Moses of the very thing that they were guilty of. Verse 3 comes to the defense of Moses. Now, the man Moses was very humble, more than all the men who were on the face of the earth. God also comes to our defense when we are accused unjustly. Might not be instantly as it was in this case, but we can rest assured that God will defend the innocent. And we too should defend the innocent. If you hear someone spreading rumors, stand up for that person. When this talk about Moses began, the other sibling should have said to stop. I don't want to hear this. Proverbs 26:20 tells us, "Where there is no wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no talebearer, strife ceases." Gossip should end with us, not flourish with us. Verse 4, God speaks. "Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, 'Come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting.'" Can you just imagine that? Have you had those times when you wish you could take back everything that you had just said? "There before them stood God in the pillar of the cloud, and he was not happy with what they had been saying." Verse 6 and 8 lets them know how God himself views their brother Moses. He talks about the intimate relationship he has with Moses. Moses was the man God had chosen to lead the nation of Israel, and he chose right. He was the most faithful, humble man on the face of the earth. God asked Aaron and Miriam why they were not afraid to speak against his servant Moses? And this is a good question we should ask ourselves. We are tempted to speak against a fellow ambassador of Christ. The world is watching, and they evaluate the worthiness of the message based on what they know or perceive the character of the messenger to be. If we cast doubt on the reputation of a brother or sister in Christ through careless words, we hinder the work of the kingdom of God. Gossip tarnishes the very message that we are supposed to proclaim. It's no wonder that verse 9 says, "So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed." You cannot experience a close, intimate relationship with God while talking against his people. Romans 14:4 asks, "Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls." This should put the fear of God in us to talk about another brother or sister in Christ. If this doesn't, verse 10 should. "And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned towards Miriam, and there she was, a leper." There's a term for what just happened to Miriam. It's called poetic justice or just deserts. The definition is a particularly fitting punishment. The reason this is so fitting is because of the parallels between leprosy and gossip. Just as it is hard to contain the spread of the disease, it is also hard, if not impossible, to stop the spread of gossip once it gets started. Like leprosy, gossip can isolate people by driving them away from the community out of shame, embarrassment, or anger. Leprosy disfigures the affected person and changes how he or she is seen by others. Gossip can change the way we think about or view others. It's a horrible disease. It deadens the nerves to the point where the leper can no longer feel pain. It is reported that some leprosy patients have had their fingers eaten off by rats in their sleep because they were totally unaware of it happening. The lack of pain receptors could not warn them of the danger. And we never want to get to that point where we feel no shame, no concern for our brothers and sisters in Christ, where we aren't even aware of the damage that gossip is causing to the body of Christ. The first question I said I wanted to answer tonight is, how does God view gossip? And I hope that through the scripture you have seen that God hates gossip. He views it as just as terrible and destructive as leprosy. And the second question is, what harm can gossip do? Gossip harms everyone it comes into contact with, the teller, the hearer, and the one being slandered, which reminds me of a real-life illustration. So as you know, a couple years ago, California passed a law concerning reusable bags in the grocery stores. So I brought some pretty bags to carry groceries in, and even a little box I could put them in the back of my car. And it worked out pretty well, and it was handy to have the box back there because I'd put loose groceries in it, like milk. Well, one day I got out of my car, and I smelt what I thought was the orchards nearby. In fact, I had been smelling that smell for a few days and just assumed that it was fertilizer. But when I reached for my pretty bags, what I found was that I had forgotten the milk I set in that box the week before. Unbeknownst to me, the milk had set in the hot sun all week. It was really embarrassing when I saw people looking my way and wondering what the terrible smell was. It was so bad. But you know, the milk container hadn't leaked. All the milk was still contained in the carton. But the smell had permeated all the bags. I tried to clean them. I ran them through the washing machine. I even put Pine Sol in the water, hoping to get rid of the smell. But do you know what's worse than the smell of sour milk? The smell of sour milk and Pine Sol combined. The bags were burnt, and I had to throw them away. Gossip is like that. Even if you think it's contained, the damage that it causes is not. Everything it touches is contaminated. Trying to cover it up only makes it worse. A study titled Why Churches Fail, conducted by Francis Schaeffer in partnership with Into the Word Ministry, reported that gossip is one of the biggest issues in the church today. They found that 61% of 2,039 people had left their church, did so because of a conflict with a member resulting from gossip or strife that would not stop, was not true, or was not properly dealt with. Our churches should be marked by love and compassion. When gossip and criticism slips in, it contaminates the whole body. If you've been the victim of malicious gossip, you know the pain that it causes. Cruel, unkind, untrue, or careless words can hurt like the piercing of a sword to your heart. Moses gives a beautiful example of how a faithful servant of God reacts to the unkind words spoken about him in Numbers 12:13. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "Please heal her, O God, I pray." Moses truly was a humble man, a man of great integrity. When I think of the men and women that I know that had been slandered and had not retaliated, but instead of thinking less of them, my respect and admiration for them has grown immensely. And I love what Charles Stanley often says, "You take care of your character, and God will take care of your reputation." On the other hand, a talebearer damages his own reputation. They're counted as untrustworthy. Proverbs 10:18 declares, "Whoever slanders is a fool." Gossip is not only sin itself, but it is often the symptom of a hidden sin, as was the case of Aaron and Miriam. Sometimes it is told to make the teller feel important at someone else's expense, or it's motivated by anger, jealousy, hatred, bitterness, pride, or just a chance to get even with someone you feel wronged you in some way. It always shows a lack of integrity and will hurt your relationship with God and with others. One of the most valuable gifts that God gives us is a good friend, someone you can share your heart with and know that what you tell them is safe. Friends have the ability to bless us or hurt us more than anyone else. And the closer the relationship, the greater the opportunity. If you give away something someone shares with you in confidence, you have not only given away personal information, but you have given away your friendship. It would be hard, if not impossible, for that person to ever trust you again. Proverbs 17:9 rightly says, "He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends." As ambassadors of Christ, we are to be messengers for Christ to the world. If we gossip, we sound more like Satan, who Jesus calls the accuser of the brethren. And I don't believe any of us want that. We know that God hates gossip. We know that gossip harms and pollutes everyone it comes into contact with. The last question we have this evening is, how can we be good and faithful servants with our mouth? While I was preparing this lesson, a song I used to hear when I was a child kept coming to my mind. And the words to the song are, "My hands were made to help my neighbor. My eyes were made to read God's word. My feet were made to walk in his footsteps. My body is the temple of the Lord. I was made in his likeness, created in his image. For I was born to serve the Lord." And our mouths, too, were made to serve the Lord. The question is, how do we serve the Lord with our mouths? And to answer that, let's first ask, what are we commanded to do? Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." In John 13, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Paul's instructions in Romans 12 is, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. God's desire for his representatives is that they would be known for the sincere love they have for one another, for him and each other. To talk against someone, to betray a friend by repeating what they told you in confidence, to listen to rumors, to form opinions and judge others based on hearsay is not loving sincerely. And in fact, it would be hypocritical to say you love someone while allowing their reputation to be assassinated. We're all probably familiar with Proverbs 18:21 by now. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And I like how the Message Bible reads this verse. Words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Gossip is poison. Words spoken in love are fruit to the soul. The greatest virtue of the Christian life is love. This is what God wants the world to see in his children that he has called to be ambassadors in this world. And think about that. We have been given this tremendous opportunity and responsibility to do something of great importance. But it's not a job we have been hired for. It is a position that we have been granted because God has made us his daughters and entrusted us with his good name. He's given us this incredible gifts of our mouths that we can use to speak words of love, to encourage, to teach and admonish one another, to pray and sing praises with, to testify of his goodness, to lead others to Christ. Our mouths can be instruments of kindness and healing. Oh, but it can also be used for evil. Try as we may, we are all prone to be unfaithful with our tongues. Haven't we all experienced the first part of Proverbs 13:17, as the Message Bible reads? Irresponsible talk makes a real mess of things. We know that God hates gossip. We know that gossip is harmful for everyone it touches, the teller, the hearer, and the one being slandered. It can destroy churches, relationships, careers, marriages, reputations, and on, whatever it gets its hooks into, it brings destruction to. We know that God wants us to use our mouths to represent him by using it in a way that shows love for God and each other, which brings life and healing to the hearers. But if we leave here tonight without understanding how to be a good and faithful servant with our mouth, we will soon be frustrated by our failures. James helps us to understand our struggles with our tongues. James 3, beginning with verse 7 from the English Standard Version. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brother, these things ought not to be so. Now, at first glance at this passage, you may think, well, it's hopeless, that our tongues just can't be tamed. But look closer. It says no human being can tame the tongue. We can't, but God can. The word tame that James uses is from the Greek word domadsto, which means to domesticate, to subdue, to control, to tame. And it's the same word used in Mark 5 describing the demon-possessed man that dwelt among the tombs. We are told no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. That is, no human being. But when this demonic man ran to Jesus, the Son of the Most High, the demons were cast out. And we read the man was sitting with Jesus, clothed in his right mind. If we try to tame our tongues by our own strength and determined will, we will be no more successful than the chains and shackles were on the demon-possessed man. Only God has the power to tame our tongues. Just as Jesus tamed the demonic man by casting out the demons that were living inside the man, he tames our tongue by taking away the sin that is dwelling in our hearts as we go to him to receive forgiveness and to be cleansed. David prayed this in Psalms 141. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. In Psalms 19, he prayed, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God will answer these prayers. He has called us to be faithful ambassadors. He wants us to succeed. He has given us his written word to instruct us and placed his Holy Spirit inside us to guide and empower us. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. The world is watching and the world is listening. You are a messenger of Christ and he wants you to reflect his perfect love in thought, word, and deed. For our purpose tonight, we're focused on the way we represent him with our words." And I want to read this loose paraphrase of 1 Corinthians 13 and apply it to our speech. Love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. Love looks for the best and wants to believe the best. It's not hasty to embrace rumors of evil. When love hears a sad report, it hopes it isn't true. And love grieves if it learns that it really is true. Love gives a person the chance to explain what they believe, hearing both sides of the story instead of taking someone's word for it. I struggled with how I would end this teaching because I couldn't understand why the Lord would have me teach on gossip to a group of women that I have found to be so loving and thoughtful. And as I was praying, I did mention this to God, and what I felt in my spirit was the Lord saying, "Yes, isn't it refreshing?" And I thought about how I love to drive up to the mountains. The air is so fresh and clean. I always want to just breathe deeply and enjoy the fragrance of the pine trees. It's so refreshing. Here in the valley, we can become so used to our polluted air that we don't even notice it until we get away from it. And I find that same refreshing fragrance of Christ here among you. Our world is so polluted with words that are evil and untrue. People are quick to believe the worst of others. Rumors are embraced and spread without a thought or care to the person being slandered. But when we gather together among believers, it's a sanctuary, a safe place. It's refreshing, and the fragrance of Christ is all around us. God is doing something very special in our midst. Over the past few years, there has been a real effort in transparency in the teaching, and it has translated to greater transparency in our small groups. In James 5:16, we are instructed to confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The affected fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I have witnessed this and experienced how it works in an environment where people are safe to talk freely without fear of being judged or gossiped about. We are learning from each other. We are sharing our struggles with each other, and we are growing. The warning is that gossip can put an end to all the good that God is doing. We need to be very careful to guard against it. If Aaron and Miriam could be guilty of gossip, none of us are exempt from the temptation. Let's pray that God would put a guard over our mouth and stop any poison from entering into our heart. May we continue to strive to be faithful ambassadors of Christ through our love of God and each other, so that the invisible kingdom of God would be visible to the world through us. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to stand before your daughters and just speak these words. And I pray that they have been an encouragement to them. I pray, Lord, that you would search each of our hearts. Help us, Lord, to guard against the poison that is found in gossip. Help us to be protective of one another. And God, we pray that as your ambassadors, we would be a light to the world through our speech. And God, we know that it is only through the Holy Spirit that we would be able to do this. And so, God, we just ask for that Holy Spirit to empower us, to correct us when we fall short. And Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness that we have in Christ. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.